I'm so glad today to be able to continue on the internal podcast, this emphasis that we've had throughout this year on personal evangelism. And we've done a number of things. We've heard a little bit from Spurgeon, sharing some from a sermon that he preached so long ago. We've had different interviews on different topics about different traps and obstacles that often keep us from evangelizing as we should, and different emphases. And just really glad to be able to continue that emphasis today. What I'd like to do with this episode, and actually with another episode next month or in 2 months, I'd like to give some attention to hearing some stories, some testimonies about the ways that God opens doors and gives us opportunities to share the gospel. And we know that He is the one that opens these doors, and He enables us by His grace to walk through them and take these opportunities that He places before us. And I'd like to have a couple of episodes here where we hear from people some testimonies of different opportunities that God has given them to share the gospel. And I'm very, very thankful for the guests that I have with me today. And before I introduce them, just want to ask and really remind us that this is the internal podcast. This is designed really for the GFA family. And what we're going to hear about today really it does have to do with some ongoing relationships, some ongoing contact with the gospel. And so I would just really make a request that this episode not be shared. However you listen to it on whatever channel you use, whether it's an app or on the missionary side of the GFA website, please do not share beyond however you listen to it. And if you know of someone in the GFA family who would profit from this, of course, you could direct them to the office, and we would be glad to get them the password and enable them to listen to the internal podcast as well. But we do ask that you not share this episode, especially just to be extra, extra careful that we're sensitive to some of the ongoing conversations that are going right now with some of the people that we're going to hear about. So the opportunity that the Lord opened. For the guests that I have today, Jerry and Gina Brewer, and I'm so glad that they are able to share with us today. Jerry and Gina have served on a number of fields as GFA Special Assignment Missionaries, and I'd actually like to start by letting them share with you a little bit about themselves, and I'm wondering if both of you could take just a few minutes and share your own salvation testimony. So I don't know which one of you would like to start.
Well, let me start out. When I was a very young boy, I clearly remember my parents taking me to church every Sunday. But that being said, I can't say that I ever heard the gospel taught. But in the Lord's providence, He allowed me to hear it in my home on the radio when I was just 7 years old. And that was the very first time that I'd ever heard it. And at the time, I was playing with my toys in the living room by myself. And the radio preacher was declaring that we're all sinners and that God was someday going to judge all sin. That hit home with me. And I had long since stopped playing with my toys. I felt as though this preacher was speaking directly to me, and he knew about the many sinful things that I had done. He continued to say that sinners would be cast into hell and would have to pay the price for their own sins. And I knew that I didn't want to pay that terrible price for my sins that I had committed. But then he made it clear that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins and would forgive me of them if I was willing to receive Him and make Him my Savior. And at the end of that broadcast, He gave an invitation. I responded to it and asked Christ to be my Savior, and He miraculously saved me.
Amen. Very good. You know who that preacher was?
I have no idea.
That makes it even more special, right?
Yes, that's it does. Wonderful.
And I love that story. It just makes me think of the people that I have briefly had an encounter with in one way or another, and I'll never see him again, but you never know how the Lord will use those contacts. And just to think about that one who preached on the radio, and here you are today, and the God used that. It's wonderful. Praise God. Good. Gina?
A coworker shared the gospel with me back in 1999, and the initial conversation came about when I asked him a question. I asked him if he was afraid of dying and leaving his wife and kids. And he responded in a way that I had never heard. He had assurance, confidence, and he said, of course my family would be sad. but I know I would be in heaven. And I didn't realize it, but he had been praying for me, he and his family, in his church, for several months. And so he used that opportunity to ask me the question, what about you, Gina? Where would you go if you died today? And I said, in my best Catholic, Roman Catholic answer, I think I'd go to heaven. I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not as bad as most. That's how I felt. Well, he proceeded to share the gospel with me. And he quoted Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. And then he shared 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And those words stuck with me. The Spirit of God just lodged those in my heart, and I thought about them all the time. You can know? How can you know? No one can know that you have eternal life. So fast forward 8 months, we had conversations throughout that time, and my sister had talked about a book that she was reading about the rapture, and I didn't know what the rapture was, but I picked up this book called The Left Behind. And I was reading it one evening, and there was a part where the pastor talked about if you are left behind, you know, you're a sinner condemned before God. And he gave a sinner's prayer. So up to that point, I had always known that I was a sinner, but I thought God graded on the curve and that I was better than most and that he wouldn't send me to hell. But at that time, the Spirit of God just open my eyes of understanding. And I, at that point, knew I was a sinner in trouble before a holy God. So I was down on my face before the Lord, and I just called out the best way I knew how, Jesus, save me. And he did. And I got up, and it was as if all that sin had rolled off my shoulders, and I felt clean, and I felt pure, and I felt fresh. And I think the Wesley hymn says it all. And can it be? Now, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I rose, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And that was November 29th, 1999, at about 2 a.m.
Wow. Amen. That's wonderful. Praise God. Well, we're skipping a lot of the story. I know that. But just another question for you again, just to help us get to know you a little bit. How did God lead you to GFA? And then maybe as part of that, you can also share where you have served. So I don't know which one of you would like to answer that question.
Well, both Gene and I had lost our spouses in 2006 and 2012, respectively. And by the grace of God, he led my pastor from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to tell me about a woman in Greenville, South Carolina, that both he and his wife had met and had been praying about for me. And Gina and I had our first phone conversation on August 7th, 2014, and then we were married just 15 weeks later on November 22nd. So that was great. And I was close to retirement age at that point, and we'd just been married maybe 3 months. I had a near-death drowning experience in New Zealand during travel on business, and that's kind of a story in itself. But after that incident, I suggested to Gina that we retire and serve the Lord in whatever capacity he would have us to do so. So then the following year, the Lord led us to Uruguay, and we reached out to two family missionaries there that we knew of, John Mark Steele and Paul Harmon, and helped them with renovation and beautification projects in their buildings. And I got to share a devotional, and Gina shared her testimony at a ladies' retreat while we were there. We babysat some kids for the missionaries and allowed them to have a parents' night out. The following year, we went to the Basque region of Spain, and missionaries Mike and Madeline Dodgins work in that area. And we provided some help on a 200-year-old farmhouse that was used as a conference center. And the Lord gave me opportunity then to share a Bible challenge with the men, and Gina had the opportunity to share her testimony at a ladies' luncheon. And then we maximized our trip there to Europe by visiting some GFA missionaries. We saw the Van Ryns, the Arnolds, and we went to Camp Impact and helped out there a little bit. The following year, 2017, the Lord had us go on to South Africa after the Paines had asked us to help with the ladies' retreat there. And Gina shared her testimony, and I was blessed to serve by working in the kitchen along with a handful of other men, and we got to serve the ladies at that retreat. And it was during that trip to Cape Town that Bill Knipe asked us if we had ever considered being furlough replacement missionaries for GFA. Well, we had not, but we began to pray about it. And a short time later, Michael West and Dr. Pittori contacted us to consider two furlough replacement opportunities.
So in 2018 was our first official furlough replacement in New Zealand for the Cravens. We spent 6 months there, had a wonderful time, wonderful group of people there. 2019, we went back to South Africa for 4 months to replace the Knipes. And then in 2020, we had plane tickets ready to go to Vienna, Austria, but the Lord shut that down with COVID. And then 2022, we went to South Korea to relieve the Thrall Falls for 3 months. And then most recently in 2023, the Lord graciously sent us to Scotland to relieve the Landons for 2 months. So in summary, we've had 4 official assignments and 3 unofficial assignments. And we've got an upcoming trip to Denmark in July for 3 weeks to shepherd a GFA intern.
Very good. Well, the Brewers, if you have met them, you know they're very encouraging, encouraging people. And I know that everywhere they've been, they have been a great contribution and a great encouragement to believers on the fields where they have filled in for furloughing missionaries. And of course, they're an encouragement to the missionaries themselves as well. And I'm just really, really, really thankful for your ministries and for your encouragement toward me as well. They're both fervent and faithful in personal evangelism. And the Lord recently gave to them a special opportunity with some relatives of Ellen Doyle. And as long as I can remember, Ellen has expressed a burden for the salvation of her siblings. And through the weeks before and after Ellen's death, really, a number of GFA missionaries and other believers had much contact with some of Ellen's family members. And some GFA missionaries who have been for a long time, close to Ellen, have had ongoing opportunities with them, and we praise God for it. But we are going to hear today a little bit about the Brewers' opportunities, the way that came about, and I'll let them share this, but when Ellen's health began declining more rapidly and she needed a housing arrangement where she could receive the kind of help she was needing more and more, Jerry and Gina opened up their home on very short notice. They moved their own bedroom upstairs in their house, and they allowed Ellen to move into the first floor of their home. And I'm going to let them pick up the story there. But here's the first question for you about that whole experience. I think I want to start like this. How did the Lord bless your own hearts? What did he teach you during those last few days of Ellen's earthly pilgrimage as you received her and really through her a steady stream of other visitors? But how did the Lord work in your own hearts? How did he teach you during those days?
Well, what really struck me with the whole situation was how God directed everything in bringing his dear saint home. Gina had learned of Ellen's need to have a more suitable place for her situation through one of our church secretaries. And it was during prayer meeting that the secretary shared the need with Gina. And as we drove home from church that evening, Gina mentioned to me that prayer request and the fact that it had been years since she had prayed with that particular person. And God had put those two together to make us aware of the situation so that we could become part of the solution. And we decided to make it a matter of prayer overnight. And when we woke up the next day, February 15th, we both felt strongly that the Lord was wanting us to offer a home to Ellen. And this couldn't have happened at a better time for us, as we had just finished a major project in our home the previous day. Gina knew Ellen quite well, and so having her at her home would definitely provide familiar surroundings for her. And after I personally had gone through a hospice situation with my late wife, I realized how important it was to have a large enough place to accommodate family and friends. So I contacted Dale Crawford at GFA, and he directed me to call Marnie Krause. And Marnie did some checking with Ellen's nurse and said that this was most likely the last day that Ellen could physically be moved to a different location and that it should be done quickly. Well, within hours, the medical supplies and the hospital bed arrived. And by 4 o'clock that day, Ellen was resting comfortably in our master bedroom. And God had worked out all those details.
There were some things in there that I had not heard before, and just astonishing the timing of all that, how God mapped that out. That's marvelous. Yeah, praise the Lord. Very good. Well, the Lord also arranged for two of Ellen's sisters to travel to Greenville to be with Ellen during these days. And now we're getting a little bit more into the meat of the story here. Go ahead.
Actually, Gina had a little bit to add to that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
You know, Jerry and I have reflected on this over and over again at the immense privilege of ministering to our dear sister Ellen and her family. And two scriptures came to mind when Jesus gives us that precious promise that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he manifested that right before our eyes. You know, it's a tangible reminder that we saw that no matter where we are in life at the end of our earthly pilgrimage, he's going to take care of us, whether we're married or single, family, no family, children, no children, and just that watching him bring it all together. And then, you know, it is better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man. And the living takes it to heart. And boy, we had so many people reflecting on her life and how she magnified the Lord, and what a great witness that, you know, everybody could be to her sisters. So it was just an incredible blessing that I would never want to have forfeited.
Wow, wonderful. Amen. Good. Well, tell us, please, how you connected with Ellen's sisters that traveled down to Greenville. Of course, the Lord arranged for that as well, so that they could be here during these days. How did you connect with Ellen's sisters?
It really was through Marnie. You know, Marnie Krause was Command Central, and we all love Marnie, and she really did such a beautiful job, such a fiercely loyal friend. And she was communicating with the family. I believe one of the sisters had visited prior, a couple weeks prior, and she made the call and said, you know, it's time. So Paula and Joan represented the family and came.
Amen. Good. And didn't one of them stay in your house as well?
Actually, both of them did.
They both did. Okay.
They both did, yes. There was a place that they had set for them, but we said they can stay here, but we didn't want to pressure. And so when they came, they just camped out right in the room with Ellen and didn't leave her side. And they were like family.
Amen. Good. Well, sounds like we need to do another podcast with you guys on hospitality. That's good. Praise the Lord. That's good. Well, how did God open that door for you to share the gospel with them?
Well, on the Friday evening when we first shared our first evening meal together, I mentioned to them that it was our custom to have family worship after our meal. And so they were okay with that. And I went ahead and read Ellen's favorite psalm, Psalm 84. And I shared my salvation testimony after that. And I felt as though I had perfect freedom to share the word with them, and they were very open to it, especially considering that they were very active in their Catholic church. I shared how Ellen would soon be having fellowship with her Savior in the courts of heaven based on verse number 10 of that psalm. And that verse says, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God." So I reviewed the truth of that verse with them and pointed out that that was Ellen's desire to be with her Savior at this point, because her body was no longer supporting her. And I reviewed the truth of John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 with them. I realized, of course, that their doctrine was works-oriented, so I really highlighted the scripture as far as that it was not by works that they could be saved. And then I asked Gina to share her testimony, since she was raised as a Catholic. I knew that she was more likely to connect with them. So Gina went ahead and did that. And we had a very good opportunity to share the gospel with them for about an hour.
Amen. So this was really right after dinner, just your normal family worship time that you normally have. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah, so Psalm 84, John 3:16, your own testimonies of salvation. What else, what did you find maybe resonated with them in a special way? Was there any particular passage or passages of Scripture or maybe some specific doctrine about the gospel that seemed to capture their attention in an unusual way? Was there anything like that?
Well, John 3:16 really seemed to resonate with them. We had, of course, another meal Saturday evening, and they knew family worship was coming again. And so I opened my Bible to John 3:16 and was going to read actually the entire chapter. And Paula said she had written that verse in her journal that day. And so what an open door to be able to just take off with that as a launching pad. So she specifically asked me then to read John 3:16, but I said I'd really like to put it in its context and read the entire chapter, and she was good with that. And so I shared the gospel account again of Nicodemus and talked at great length about being born again. We ultimately then moved from the supper table then to the porch and continued our discussion. It lasted about 2 hours. And then during that time, Paula stated, I'm sorry, I'm getting into your part.
That's
here,
okay.
Sweetheart.
She said, "You don't think I'm born again, but I am. Ellen never thought I was saved, but I am." And her sister Joan, you know, joined in on that. And we had asked her the night before, you know, just the question, if you were, you know, at the court of heaven and God said, "Why should I let you in, Paula?" She said, "Because of all the things I've done." So she gave testimony. She was really trusting in her works. But she did explain about a scenario at a team building meeting with some folks, and she couldn't get over a wall and prayed, and God helped her get over the wall. And that's when she was saved. So we were asking questions, trying to understand where she was. And from that, Marnie gave her testimony. We really tried to talk about that it's the righteousness of Christ and not our righteousness. So we had a very good conversation. We didn't physically see any movement, but you know that the Lord's word doesn't return unto him void. So the seed was planted. And planted and, you know, and watered. And so they heard and they were able to share and we were able to share.
Amen. Wonderful. Well, you've of course, the two of you, and you've mentioned Marnie, and I mentioned that there were many others during those days that were able to be a part of some of this planting and watering that you're referring to. And we praise God for that. How would you describe, as you observed them, through all these conversations, and not just the conversations, but just through their observations of Ellen's spiritual family, as they were able to interact with the two of you and with many others during these days, would you be able to say something that maybe stood out to them? Did they make any kind of comments about the people that they were meeting or as they interacted with Christians who loved Ellen so much? What stood out to them about Ellen's spiritual family?
I would have to say they were blown away by the outpouring of love. I mean, they mentioned it so many times, the people, the stream of people, the phone calls, the FaceTime, the food. It was effusive. They couldn't believe the outpouring of love. And they said it over and over again. And, you know, they will know us by our love. And they were very appreciative. That's what I would say, love.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Jerry, anything to add to that?
Yeah, that really was what they were impressed with. They, of course, were very thankful for the hospitality of being able to be in our home. But, you know, they were like family to us after a while. I mean, they didn't leave until I think it was Tuesday the following week, and we did some things with them after that. And again, they were so thankful. Actually, when they got back, they sent us some Omaha steaks, and that was really great. They were so appreciative. Yes.
Oh, good.
That afforded us an opportunity to call them, to talk to them. So we have communicated via text and phone call. Good. So they are like part of the family. We have an outstanding invitation if we ever come up to Nebraska or Illinois to stay with them.
Oh, good. Wonderful. So you've got an ongoing open door as well. That's great.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Good. Well, how would you advise us to pray for them and then really Ellen's other siblings as well? What would be the prayer requests that you would share with us?
Yeah, they're in a very hard spot because of their church background. They're in the Church of Rome. They're blinded by the God of this world. And I'm sure that through Ellen's homegoing, if any of her siblings came to know the Lord, Ellen would say that her years of suffering would have been entirely worth it.
I would say, just pray that the Spirit would open up the eyes of their understanding. They are greatly deceived. They have a sincere and fierce loyalty to their Catholic beliefs. Being Catholic, I know what it's like to be Catholic. I know the doctrine, but I was never indoctrinated into it. This was a different story. They're at a different level. They believe they're safe. They believe they're going to heaven. So there's no doubt that they have, mentioned. So you just shudder at the thought that they are going to go into eternity just holding on to this lie. So only God can change a heart, just like he changed yours and mine and, anybody's that comes to know the Lord, that the eyes of their understanding would be opened.
Amen. Good. Very good. Well, I wanted this story shared with the GFA family, and I'm so thankful that you were willing to do this. But so many throughout the GFA family knew and loved Ellen. We knew of her burden for her family. We knew of the effort that she had put forth to have these open doors with her siblings to share the gospel, and to hear of all these opportunities, to hear of their own response to the love of Christ's disciples, and their willingness to listen, and all these opportunities that you and others had. Brother Jerry just said it so well. I think if Ellen were able to look back and see all of these opportunities, and if one of her siblings were to come to know the Lord truly, she would say 7 years of cancer, 7 years of dealing with that and all the ways that she had to. 7 years, it was all worth it. So I'm so, so thankful for Jerry, you're sharing that way, and these prayer requests that God would open their eyes. Good, good. Let's pray that way as a GFA family. We knew Ellen, we loved Ellen. Let's continue to pray for her siblings, that God would open their eyes and bring them to Christ. Well, please share as well how we can pray for you. Are there any opportunities that you're currently pursuing? Anything that you'd like to share with us so we could pray for you well?
Yes, we just made some arrangements actually today, within the past couple hours, to fly to Uruguay. Actually, a couple other guys from church and myself are going to go down there as a work trip and work on a renovation of a building to be made into a church for Paul Harmon with another mission agency.
Yeah, good.
So we're looking forward to that. And then, of course, we're looking for the Lord to continue to guide us as we seek his will about Denmark. Mm-hmm. And the path to getting into that country is very arduous. You can get there easily for 3 months or less, but to stay there, it's very difficult. And we need the Lord's will. We need to find out if he would want us to be there as short-term missionaries or just to continue on as furlough replacement missionaries. And so that door that had been opened for us initially seems to have changed a little bit. And we just recently learned that we can only leverage our Dutch heritage, my Dutch heritage, and obtain the Dutch citizenship by living in the Netherlands for 1 year first before we would go to Denmark. And so that citizenship, that Dutch citizenship, would allow us to have EU citizenship and allow us then entry into Denmark on a long-term basis. So we're asking the Lord to guide us on this. And no matter how he leads, we know that we're in his hands. And we find it incredible that we could serve our Lord together wherever he would have us to go.
Amen. Good. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Well, thank you so much. Really, I'm really, really thankful for your willingness to come in and share with us today. And I am certain that the Lord will use your testimony, the story that you shared, to really encourage the GFA family to keep seeking these opportunities, keep praying for these opportunities, and then take them. And I think we could all learn from that example that we heard as well today about hospitality and showing love and looking for these opportunities, and really wherever God presents them, continue to pray that God will use us to reach people for Christ. So thank you very much.
Amen.
All right. Well, God bless you all. And trust the Lord will continue to guide you, provide for you, and use you wherever he's placed you as you labor for him in many, many corners of the harvest in this world that needs Christ so desperately. Let's really seek the Lord, draw near to him, walk with him, and then let the overflow of our own walk with Christ, our own worship, our own devotion to the Lord, let that flow out from us and affect other people for the gospel's sake. So God bless you as you serve him.